Hit the theme song. It's so good to see you in LA because I feel like you're crisp and clean and I can see you with internet and you're not freezing up out on the Swiss Family Robinson Ranch. It's nice.
It's kind of funny, actually. You're not wrong. I have a fresh haircut. I have no beard. I get to LA and everything changes. Everything changes. But I'm still me. I'm still me no matter where I am. Still Oliver Hudson, rocking in the free world, baby.
Yeah. What's it been like getting out of the wilderness and back into a jammed city? But during COVID, it's not as jammed, I found, when I was out there a couple times.
Yeah, it's always double-edged to me. You know, leaving is hard because it's just so beautiful and amazing. But then you come home, and we were here the first, we got home, and Bodie, my middle kid, you know, who's very sort of thoughtful, he said to me, he goes, "Dad, you know, I love being in Aspen, but it just feels good here. This is home." And he kind of said it like that. And I was like, oh, God, he like hit me. I'm like, you're right, dude. You get home and it just feels good. There's an energy here. There's something that just feels good. And he nailed it. And that's how I feel. We're home and it feels good to be home.
How long were you gone? I mean, months.
5 months.
Yeah, five months.
Yeah, we were gone 5 months. I mean, I miss it, man. There's no doubt about it. But no, I'm happy to be home. I've been hitting golf balls, you know, getting my life on track here. A lot of calls, a lot of meetings, getting ready to do my television show mid-December. So, you know.
What is this show now that we can talk about it? Can we talk about it?
It's called The Three of Us, and it's a show about siblings. And I'm the oldest sibling, and I have two youngers. And the premise of the show is that my younger sister's husband gets up and just bails, and now she has this 9-year-old kid. Dealing with that, I have her move in with me in the interim while she figures out her life. Meanwhile, I've got my younger brother, who's sort of this playboy, lives on a boat, and he's a volunteer firefighter and, you know, is a ladies' man. And it's about the sibling dynamic and how we all sort of come together and the issues and the problems and the comedy and all of that. And I got a wife. I have a wife and I have my first baby on the way.
Wow.
That's the
Outside of the end of that with the wife and the baby on the way, It really just struck me that you're doing like 3 and a half men.
Yes. Exactly.
It's almost identical. I mean, at some point, all these storylines are played out, and then it just becomes how good is the writing? How good is the acting?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the interaction of the people that are playing the siblings.
Nail on the head. You couldn't have said it better. That's exactly what it is. Every storyline, every plot, every concept, every situation has been done 1,000 times.
Is this comedy? Is this a comedy show?
The execution. Yes. It's a comedy. It's a sitcom. It's a 4-camera sitcom. Haven't done one of those since Rules of Engagement a long, long time ago. And if this thing can be even half as successful as 2 and a Half Men,
yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah. Is it?
I'll take it.
Is it ABC? Is that what you said it was?
It's CBS.
Back in
CBS
the fold.
CBS show.
There's only one the reason fold. Why you're doing the show is to get invited back
Pebble
to Pebble
Beach. Yeah. That's right.
Maybe you'll get to be near your favorite announcer, Jim Nance, and your second favorite announcer, Tony Romo, that way.
Yeah. No, I know. I can't wait, dude.
So
Tony's
exciting.
Got it. Tony's just, he's one of the best.
I know. He is.
Could be the best.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be in the Hall of Fame. He'll be in the broadcast Hall of Fame for sure.
Oh my God. There's no doubt.
But hey, by the way, very smart. I mean, you know that's crossed my mind. Oh shit, I'm working for CBS now. Let's get back into that AT&T.
Plus it just seems like their primetime programming has a shot. Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in the world of Netflix, and I defer and default all the time to what's the best show going on Netflix? What's the best show going on Hulu? What's the best show? if I'm going to watch a show, I don't personally, I'm not a guy that's searching out, hey, what's the brand new batch of shows on any of the networks? And that includes the one I work for, and I've been there for almost 30 years. But it seems like CBS, if they seem to do these shows well.
Mm-hmm. They do. They especially do the sitcom well. They're very, very successful in the multi-camera world, without a doubt. I mean, they've just had massive hits all the time.
But is this... So you're doing a pilot, right? That means it hasn't
I'm doing
been
a pilot.
Up.
So yeah, basically I'm promoting something that's not even on the air yet, or not promoting, but talking about something that's not on the air. But maybe, you know, if the 300 listeners, you know, petition CBS to get us picked up, maybe that'll help. But yes, it's just a pilot right now. We've been on hold since April. It's all finally come around. We're very lucky and excited that they held on to us. And fortunate, a lot of other shows were canceled in the COVID situation, with the COVID situation. But they really like the show. I mean, and rightfully so. It's good. You know, it's really good. My mom read it, really loved it. I'm like, come play my mother. And so there's a consideration happening there. Oh. So hopefully that can work out.
Hello.
Is
Allison Janney not available?
Yeah, she passed.
Damn. Passed on the project. She's still alive.
Yeah, project's still alive.
No, I'm saying...
I think she's still doing Mom.
Oh. My point is, when you said she passed, I don't want people to be alarmed to think that she passed away. She just passed on the project.
Oh, no. I never even thought about that. Yes, no, Allison Janney, I'm sure, is healthy and vibrant. And by the way, she's one of my favorite actresses.
Yeah, she was so good in the Tanya Harding thing.
She's so fucking good. So, yeah, getting back to work is fun, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to start creating. Oh, you know what's funny? I can't do it. We probably have to cut this. Yeah, we will. But I'll tell you, and we can just have we can have the boys cut it. But I don't know, you might even be aware of it. You know, approached me again about doing something for I wish we could. I don't think we, because it airs today, and we're airing this. So I don't think we can say what it is. You know what we can do though. You know what we can do. We could have Josh. Just when I start to tell the story, just do a big bleep.
Yeah.
Bleep 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 bleep. That'd be funny
for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So we didn't do a show last week. I definitely missed not catching up, which is really the only reason why I do this podcast. There's no financial element whatsoever. I just get a chance to to catch up with you.
Yeah.
And I think the common thought would be we didn't do it because it was the week of the election. And mm-hmm. We haven't talked about this much. I wanted to do one. In fact, I tried to do one on my own. You were going through some health checkups.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to, you know,
oh yeah, that whole thing blew up. I mean, I posted a picture on Instagram of me getting a carotid artery ultrasound because I have high cholesterol, and it was just a routine situation, and I posted it saying election night or whatever, making a stupid joke. Now I will say, looking back at the picture, it looks kind of bad. I mean, it looked like I'm in some sort of dire situation. But I had everyone fucking emailing me, texting me. Aaron was getting texts like, is Oliver okay? And then I get my manager emails me with these newspapers, various sort of ragged newspapers sort of saying, we're running this story on Oliver and we want to know if he's a comment. I'm like, what? I'm fine. You know, this is all routine stuff. You know, I don't know what's going on.
But there was a moment there where you, from what I could gather just from the little that we talked, not doing a show, that you were a little concerned.
Well, here's what happened, okay? I'm getting this ultrasound, and the technician was great. This woman, been there for 25 years. She's done it all, right? And I can see the blood flowing through my arteries. It's pretty cool to watch. And I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't sense any concern. And I get up to leave, and she goes, "Oh, do you have an are you going to talk to the doctor after you, you know, before you leave? I'm like, no, he said to just to come in. I've made a second appointment, you know, for later. And she said, okay. Well, let me just call and make sure he doesn't want to talk to you. And immediately red flags are going up. I'm like, oh shit, something's up. You know, something's up. Something's going on. She comes back in the room. She goes, no, you're free to go. I said, oh, okay, great. I walk out. I'm literally about to get in the elevator. She's hauling ass down the hallway. Wait. They need to talk to you. You know, the doctor wants to see you. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, this is it. I'm dead. I got to start getting back into my will and amending my will. And I mean, that's where my head goes. And it turns out that according to what they saw preliminarily, I had a 40% blockage in my carotid artery, my left carotid artery. And I was like, motherfucker. And I just dipped in spirits, even though it's not bad necessarily. There's elite athletes with that. But still, I'm like, oh, my God. Go the next day. I do the dye contrast, MRI, CT scan, whatever the hell it is. Turns out that it's just a genetic situation where my artery is shaped a certain way. And it's not actual plaque. So I have zero plaque in my body. Everything is good. That's the story. Our listeners are probably asleep by now listening to that, but that's the story.
We should put like gentle wave sounds under it, like just
yeah, or maybe a heart monitor, like boop.
Yeah, exactly. Boop. Or just
yeah, thump 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 thump.
As you tell that story, because it will put them to sleep.
By the way, good idea, Joe. I think we do bleeps in this episode, and we'll tell Josh to put a little, you know, just a little heartbeat under there.
Thump 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 thump.
We should play with sound effects. Why not? Right.
I think we should interview the guy from Police Academy. And just have him do on command sound effects. But what it made me think about was at any point when it does hit you and your bubble gets burst a little bit, and reality, and people deal with this every day. Mm-hmm. I think you're probably like me, that you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop, because we're so fortunate that you're like, okay, this is great, but come tomorrow, everything's going to be different for whatever reason. It made me think of my dad when he was in the hospital at the end of his life, and he left a banquet. I think the banquet was like, let's say, the second week of December, went right in for lung cancer surgery where they lopped off a part of his lung, got an infection, was back in 2 weeks later, and then that was it. That was the last time he was out of the hospital. And so probably month four or three of his stay in there, he and I were, I visited him every day, sometimes twice a day, and I would be in there late at night in the ICU unit, and he was laying there, couldn't talk. He had a trach going, and they dropped the trach for him to talk, and by that point, it was such a pain in the ass. He would mouth things to me, and he was mouthing to me, I hope that me laying in here for as long as I have remind you or let you know that by the time you get into this position, it's too late. So live your life, relax, have fun. I was building a house at that point that he thought was too big. He's like, build your house. Who cares? Because at some point you're going to be laying here in essence, like I am.
I have one question before you go on. It must have taken you 12 hours to decipher that from just lip reading. That's a long ass paragraph. It's simple yet profound. You know, it's something that you hear all the time from adults. When you're a kid, you're like, dude, live it now, or, you know, do this because you're going to be here. And you always sort of just say, okay, yeah, I got it. But it's an important one to listen to. Honestly, it's, you know, you don't want to be lying in that bed and waiting to go and have those kinds of regrets that you didn't do whatever it is that you did.
Right.
And not to bring this back to my situation, but you know, I've never had anything like that, even a shocker like that, meaning like, oh shit, this is kind of wrong with you. And I was depressed for a day. I was like, fuck, I can't believe it. You know, now this is something that I'm going to have to really watch and figure out in my life. And, you know, I spiraled just a little bit, but it's true. And then, by the way, when the results came back, everything was negative. I was like, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm trying to figure. I mean, I was like fucking in a montage for the rest of that day.
Right. But that was my point of bringing it up. So it was supposed to go back to you. And there's that time, that in-between time of not knowing that just plays with your soul. And that's the hard part of, you know, for some sort of a resolution and waiting for a plan attack.
Early 90s? I mean, that was like every 3 weeks with every HIV test.
Yeah.
Because I was in college, you know, back then, and it was rampant. I mean, it still is, obviously, but we've come a long way. But at the time, it was very, very scary. And, you know, you try to be safe in college, and there's moments of like, oh, fuck, why did I do that? And then you get these tests. Multiple tests, and each time that waiting period is like, this could be it. I mean, this fucking could be it. I could be dead. I could know that I'm dying, right? In the early mid 90s, I went through that a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I, on the other hand, was not active enough to ever worry about that.
Well, you were married, weren't you?
Well, yeah, by the mid 90s I was, but I mean, even in my college days, I was just
your college days, there was just like, you know, there was like the clap, like that's it.
What do you think, I was born in like 1920?
Yeah, dude, you survived the Spanish flu and right. dealt with the clap.
Yeah, and now here I am walking on sunshine. Woo! Try to feel good.
But your point is that we didn't go dark because of the election.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of why would we go dark during that? I don't understand.
No. I was scared and tripping out a little bit, and I was in doctor's appointments, and I just couldn't get into doing this.
So I tried to do the podcast by myself. And it just doesn't work.
Did you try?
I tried.
Oh my God. Hold on. Breaking news.
Yeah.
Breaking news on daddy issues. My dad, Bill Hudson, just texted me.
While we're talking?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Are you going to open the text and see what it says?
Yeah. It's short and sweet. It's always, you know, I texted him a little while back that I'm back in LA. We should try and grab lunch. You know, I'm just always trying to connect with him. Always. And then finally he goes, yes, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out when next week. He's very short, but you know.
Does that mean that you're going to eat next week with him, or does that mean that you then will go into the process of trying to figure it out? That kind of shit bugs the hell out of me.
Like, you're such a word guy, a wordsmith.
I'm serious. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to talk about it next week, or does that mean next week we're going to eat? That's a big difference.
I think the latter. I think it means next week we're going to eat.
Okay. You know? Will you record secretly some of it so we can play it on Daddy Issues?
That's a great idea.
You should go wired.
Oh my gosh! That'd be
great. You should go wired,
dude.
But how great would it be if he had you frisked and then like take your shirt off to make sure that nobody was listening on our podcast? Talking about his failings as a dad.
It's like this daddy sting.
Oh my God. I think that would be great. I'd like to hear his voice.
Do that.
I'd like to hear his voice. You got no balls if you don't do it. I mean, he'll never trust you again, and you'll never go to lunch again.
No, but I'd at the end of lunch, I'd have to like rip open my shirt and be like, "Dad, I was wired," and now, and then I gotta say, "Look, I want to put this on the show, and I need your permission to do it."
Yeah, here's a waiver. You pull out of your jacket, "Dad, will you sign this?" And then Child Protective Services comes in and hauls him away.
But by the way, I'll bet you my dad would come on our show. I would almost put, I'll give it 90%. You know, that would be big for me. I'd have to, you know, I just have to say to him, "Look, we do this show, and, you know, he loves sports. He loves football, so I'm sure he knows who you are. And so I just feel like we got to talk candidly and openly, and if you're down, let's do it." You know, that'd be crazy.
How would everybody... I would love it, but who would interview him more, you or me?
I think both. I mean, I think you. I wouldn't ask him like, "Dad, like, you know."
Why do
but
you
refer
to a baby voice?
I don't know. Don't. Oh, let's not go there. Oh,
Dad.
Man,
Daddy.
Daddy, how come you're not around?
Oliver. Oliver, it's 2020. You're a 44-year-old man. You? Come back, walk back to the light, Oliver. Walk back to the light.
"Dad, do you have a game today? Are you at Rams Stadium?
Quarterback?
Are you playing? Does Dire Straits have a show tonight?"
For those who are aware of what Oliver is referencing, good on you for being a real listener of the show.
Right, but for those of you who haven't, my dad used to tell me that he was the quarterback for the LA Rams and that he was the guitarist for Dire Straits.
Those were the years that he just had you locked in a room and you had no access to the outside world. So you just had to go with it because there's no way you could possibly research whether your dad was an NFL quarterback or part of a rock band.
He did have an entire Rams uniform, shoulder pads, helmet, the whole deal. And he could really throw a football. So I remember, you know, throwing a football with him all the time. And there was this sort of valley or this gap. And it was a hairpin turn on a road. So you could almost throw the football across the gap. And I remember as a kid, he would be able to launch it across the whole thing. And I was like in awe. Of course, now I've been there and it's like, you know, it's like a 20-yard shot. It's nothing.
Now we're doing like Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, dude. One of the greats. That guy. Fuck, he's
how much you want to make a bet I can throw this football over them there mountains?
Over the mountains. Uncle Rico.
Well, that's good. Well, start greasing the skids either when you talk to him next week about going to lunch or when you actually go to lunch. That'd be great.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, if I was to have a conversation with him or if he was on the show, I would like to get into his life. You know, I would like to talk about his dad not being around and what that was like for him. You know, what that felt like, some of the younger memories of his dad or some of the loneliness that he might have felt or how he feels it affected him in his life when the first time he saw his father was after he left, what that was like, how the relationship actually, you know, blossomed in a way, because in his 20s, he did become closer with his dad, as did my uncles. So there's a lot of questions that I would love to ask.
But here's why it won't work. Because it's going to turn into an attack on your mom. Potentially.
It would, but I'd make sure it wouldn't go there. I'd just say prior, I'd say, "Look, Dad, this isn't about sort of divorce, okay? This isn't about, you know, mom. This is just about daddy. Daddy issues. That's what this is. You're my father. We've had a reconciliation. I've talked about you on this show a bunch. And I want to talk to you as a son. And I want you to talk to me as my dad. I want to get to know what your past was like with your father, you know, and maybe your grandfather, my great grandfather, who, by the way, well, my great grandfather's brother, so my great uncle is Tony Salerno, was Tony Salerno, big fat Salerno, the head of the Genovese crime family.
Or so you were told.
No, we found this out. It's 100%. It's all like DNA and yada yada.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, who's he related to? How are you related to him?
My great-grandmother, Tessie, who's Italian. Her husband, right? My great-grandfather, her husband's brother was Tony Salerno.
Wow.
So he's sort of my great uncle or my great great uncle or however you want to say it. But yeah, no, that's all genetics. That's all been genetically proven.
So you did a spit test or something? Me. Or you did like a 23 and
yeah,
me?
Yeah, it's like
and
the 23
back
and
to
me.
You're related to
yes.
a mob boss?
Yeah, I mean, well, Tony Salerno doesn't have his DNA on 23andMe, but you go back into our family history, which isn't that far, and it's not like my great 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 uncle was Christopher Columbus. I mean, this is only a couple generations removed. So my great grandfather's brother was Tony Salerno. I mean, it's not too far removed.
Right. No,
I don't have to carbon date anything here.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You're not digging anybody up out of any graves. There's still a way that you could probably talk to somebody who said, I met Uncle Tony. What a sweetheart. Salt of the earth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was just with, this summer, I was with this guy. I spent a week at this place and that I can't even talk about because it's so secret. But it was this really cool experience. And it was heavy, heavy into the CIA and he worked organized crime. So he had interviewed and he had interviewed a few times Tony Salerno. And so he would talk about him. He told me stories and stuff about the interviews.
Do you feel cooler because of that somehow?
Oh,
I feel like you feel like you're a cooler guy that you're related to.
Of course I am. Of course I am. Of course I feel cooler. You know, I shouldn't because the mob kills people but there's that romanticized, the romantic notion of the mafia. And right. Yeah, I feel cool. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I feel cool. It's my great uncle was a mob boss. Don't fuck with Oliver Hudson.
Let this be a warning to the people, the decision makers at CBS with the upcoming yay or nay on certain, let's say, sitcom, situational
comedy.
You
pick us up. You don't fucking pick us up. Yeah, something might happen to you or maybe your family. I don't know.
Oh my God.
This as a warning. It's a warning.
That's great. Well, hey, I'm not going to mess with you anymore. If you can get your dad on this thing somehow, we'll treat him. I would treat him respectfully. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to have to. First, I'm going to hit him with, how long were you the quarterback of the LA Rams?
Did I ever call any of your games?
Right. I'm sure my dad called many of your games. And Dire Straits.
Bill Hudson back to pass.
What kind of a guy is Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits? Or was he saying he was Mark Knopfler, like the lead guy?
No, he wasn't Knopfler. He was, what's his name? The guitarist.
Slash.
Yeah, Slash. It's like the only guitar player you know.
Right. Trevor Rabin. From Yes.
Oh, God. But I don't know. We'll see. That could be a cool... That could be a very cool episode.
So I just did an interview with the Dallas morning radio station that I go on all the time with, and they did a music episode where they do the bands of your life. And it was a series of questions of what band do you hate? What band can you not get sick of listening to? What's your all-time go-to? what band introduced you to music, mm-hmm. and right on. Which band is underrated?
Love that. I love that. That's a great one because it's not what's your favorite band or what's your favorite song or what's your favorite movie. It's too hard of a question to answer. But when you categorize it, that's a fun game.
Yeah. So the only one I'm going to ask you is what band would you credit giving you an interest in listening to music as a kid? What was your first band that caught your attention?
For sure, the Beatles. Without a doubt, the Beatles, you know, I mean, from a very, very young age, it was the Beatles. And then, you know, Van Halen, honestly, was big for me, especially the song Jump. I was obsessed with that song. I actually created performances to that song. Like I was, you know, Lee Roth just fucking getting after it.
Yeah.
So Van Halen was huge, huge for me. And then my first real obsession with a full record, with the entire record, was George Michael, Faith.
Nice.
That was it.
Well, there wasn't a dud 11. On that thing. Yeah, that was a
Dude,
full
it
good
was
album.
So good. I knew every word. It was the first album that I learned like every word to every song. It was my first concert. I you know that at the Forum, I went and saw George Michael with my mom and my sister, so that was definitely my first real obsession with a record.
that's a good one, and even mm-hmm. though you're 7 years younger than me, like I think that Van Halen tour I saw was probably one of the first concerts I saw off like the 1984 mm-hmm. album. That had Jump on
yep.
it.
Yep. And then Michael Jackson, too. Sorry. Michael Jackson, you know, Off the Wall, Thriller. Those were huge for me.
I even mentioned you because one of the other questions was what band surprised you? And I said Sturgill Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were the first one to mention his name to me or I to mm-hmm. you when we were playing with George Strait in that member guest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was me. It was Sturgill because Wyatt, my brother, is a Sturgill fanatic. And he introduced me to Sturgill and I love Sturgill Simpson. Yeah, so I remember that.
So I mentioned you in the interview. Mine was Police, Ghost in the Machine was the first album I think I bought. And got me going. So I'm not cool enough to either A, say that I'm related to a former mob boss, or B, was introduced and fell in love with music thanks to the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Well, my mom used to play. So we were living in Malibu at the time. And it was always like during June gloom in LA, you know, this big marine layer sort of sets in and it just doesn't go away for a while typically. And so my mom used to drive me up into the mountains to get above the marine layer. And she used to play Here Comes the Sun and sing it to me as we sort of ascended through the marine layer and into the sunshine. And that's one of my first memories that I have.
How old were you? Roughly. 20?
Probably 25. Yeah, 26.
Now, were you like 5 or 6, or how old were you?
Yeah, I was like 5 or 6, exactly. Like 4 or 5, like around that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And those memories have not been smoked out of you. That's amazing to me.
No, they're only enhanced. You know, or they're either memories or hallucinations. You know, either one. Both the same, really.
Yeah, whatever. You don't care.
No, I don't care, man. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, well, do you see they fucking legalized, like, not legalized, but decriminalized, like, every drug in Oregon.
Yeah.
Like, everyone. They didn't even be like, well, let's just start with a few. It's like, fuck it. Let's just decriminalize everything. Heroin, coke, fucking meth.
Yeah.
They're making up drugs to decriminalize.
Right. How long till you move there?
Oh, we just bought a house on the in Bend.
Oh, God.
But no, I'm down with that. Fuck.
Shit.
Yeah, whatever, man. Hey, man. Whatever,
let it rip,
bro.
Let it go,
let it
bro.
Rip.
Quit being such a stiff.
Yeah. Dude, it's a green map now, man. Forget the election. Forget red or blue. The map just turned green, man.
Is that a weed reference?
Yeah, man. I mean, if you look at the states that just decriminalized or recreationally made legal or then medicinally, you know, made legal. I mean,
is it everywhere now? Green. Is it basically
close? Is it in Missoula?
You know, I don't even know where it stands. And it's funny because my brother-in-law is in that business in Denver. And even then, they're like the cradle of... They're like the Mesopotamia of legal weed in the United States, yeah. The cradle of civilization. And it's still, because it's not totally federally recognized, that it's still an odd business to be in. It's not easy to navigate. So I think, Missouri's moved in that direction, but I don't get the sense that people are allowed to just walk around smoking weed all day. I don't think that's the case. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. Well, even in Colorado, it's like liquor. I mean, you can't walk around the streets, you know, with a handle of Tito's, just slugging Tito's. You know, I mean, just the same that you can't cruise on the street smoking a joint. You know, it's the same thing.
What if you're on a skateboard listening to Fleetwood Mac drinking a cranberry cocktail? Is that okay?
Well, that's the thing that I should do is everyone's sort of mimicking that, but I should get on there with like a huge joint, like one of those Cheech and Chong joints,
right?
And do the music and have that.
What song? Forget if you can't use that song. What song would you play?
I will be your father figure. Put your tiny hand in mine. Exactly. I need to come with a new song.
Yeah.
But that's actually a good idea. I'm going to do that.
I'm Maybe all I'll go out of viral. Love. I'm so lost without you.
That's a good idea. I'm doing it. I bet you it goes viral and Daddy Issues goes right to the top of the charts.
So we have Rumor Willis next week.
Yeah.
And we have locked in with Jason Sudeikis. I'm excited for both. I don't know Rumor Willis. I find it funny that the two of you will be on the same podcast and can talk about your own father figures who were certainly action movie stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Sudeikis was there during the Artie Lang episode on HBO
of
my show.
Shit, that's right. Oh, I can't wait to ask him about that.
And
just
fucking
what was in
Rudd,
his head.
Of all the people who I've known since we were teenagers, has talked about that whole sitting there next to Artie.
Yeah.
And Artie's talked about it, about Rudd leaning over and going, "Don't you realize this has been epic TV?" Meanwhile, I'm over there taking a bath and shit.
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
It's like, thanks, Rudd. Appreciate it. But
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not
wrong.
It was great TV. And that's what I never, that's not what this is all about. This podcast, but
it is now.
Yeah. I never understood for the life of me, and I've talked about this on literally 25 shows since then. I never understood HBO's reaction to any of that. I never understood it. And it made everything worse.
Well, here's the thing. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think we were just in a different time. You know, I mean, I know we were in a different time, obviously. If that happened right now, you know, just given the landscape of TV and what people might want to see, I bet you things would be different. You know, I bet you they would look at that differently.
I said then, and I believed it then, and I sure as hell believe it now, that if David Hill, who started Fox Sports and was my original boss at Fox, was running HBO and that happened, he would walk out there afterward and say, that was amazing live television. Can't wait for the next show. Who knows what the hell's going to happen? You got to watch. And because what was buried in all of that was the rating was actually bigger than the show that was there prior to, that was my first show. And secondly, the rating grew during the course of the hour. And again, it was live on HBO. It wasn't fake live. It wasn't Jimmy Kimmel live that records and then comes back around. Yeah. It was live. And that, you should dive into that wave and embrace it and have some unknowns every week and make people want to watch it. I just never got that. It made me come off totally like a stiff. I called Artie the next day and I was like, man, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. I'm glad anybody wanted to come on. And I told you to do that. Maybe not to that degree, but I told you to do that before we came out there. I'm all good. Yeah. I have no issue with you. And we became friends. I wrote the foreword to a second book. So I, it's that has always stuck in my craw, so to speak, that, and anything I say about HBO then becomes, feels like sour grapes, and it's not. I just think that that could have been handled in a much cooler way that would have been to the benefit of the show and not, in essence, ending it before the thing ever began.
Let me ask you one question, though. What is a craw?
I feel, when I say that or when I've heard people, I feel like it's like where you would put a lump of chewing tobacco in the back, like Red Man.
Because I just said that the other day. I was having a conversation with someone, maybe I think even yesterday, and I was like, yeah, that shit just stuck in my craw. And then I'm like, I was thinking, what is a craw? And then you just said it. So, I mean, do you know what a craw
where
is?
Red Man would go. Like it's...
Yeah, but sticking in your craw is sort of bad, right? Like that fucking just stuck with me. Like
it's a bad taste in your mouth. It just doesn't leave you. It lingers. Okay. Is the way I've always interpreted that.
For those who are listening, please inform us what a craw is.
We have listener things that we need to read through.
Oh, by the way, one more thing on that. Maybe you and I should do a fucking live show.
We should.
We'd crush that.
I'm all for it.
I mean, a live television show on a network, because I think we'd play off each other very nicely and just fucking see what happens. Yeah. I love that live show aspect of it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in.
All right, so networks, if you're listening, we want to do a live show.
Hey, but it's not going to be at CBS, okay?
You can No. It's got to be cursing and all kinds of crazy. It's got to be at a streamer. It's called Buxton Inc.? Budson Huck.
Budson Huck, just like Bo Juck on Instagram.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't open my goddamn email. Oh, here it is. All right.
Read a couple
and then we'll get off.
Yeah, save some too, because we got a lot of them. We gotta save some.
Okay.
And then we gotta go. I gotta haul my trailer. I brought my 33-footer back to LA, my trailer, and it's been parked in front of my house now, and I'm getting so many fucking complaints.
God, you have got to be the worst neighbors of all time.
You know, neighbors are like, why is this thing? When's this thing gonna move? It's like, okay. I'm like, you guys, relax, okay? It's getting out of here. So I gotta haul my trailer to Marina Del Rey.
From N Free, ENFRI 1 at N Free 1. Someone offers to pay you guys millions to pick a song, any song, and make a music video lip syncing to that song. What song do you pick and what is the music video like? We want details.
Oh my God.
I'll go first because I know every word for some reason. I think I know the reason to the song Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band. So it would be 80s-esque. It would be me needing no help with the lyrics or having to read any of it because I can recite it for you right now. And it would involve, centerfolds.
I love it. My go-to karaoke song is Father Figure by George Michael. So I know all the lyrics to that. And when I get up, I don't just sing it. I fucking perform it. And I think my music video would probably just be me nude, as usual. Maybe just writhing around in multiple animal skins, like all different kinds. Fake, of course. Bear, coyote, maybe some elk, you know, and just... It's me just spinning in circles, just rolling over like this through all different animal skins, singing the song.
But what's the point of that with father figure? What is the animal skin part of it? What is that?
I just want to be held. I just want to be wrapped up warm, you know, and held by, you know, my dad. Although it's not even about that.
Yeah, everything gets back to that. From at
the Kale, whole song, though, is about fucking like a woman or a man, I guess.
Kale Persh. For Joe or Oliver, what moment from your life can you look back at and pinpoint as being a turning point? Why and how? When Fox got the rights out of nowhere to cover the NFL in 1994, changed my entire life. I was already married at that point, about to have kids, but I think professionally and what that set up for me, I went out to audition in the spring of 94, and it's 24 years old at the time, and trying to get a job covering the NFL and doing play-by-play, which I'd never done, and getting through that audition and getting hired basically on the spot led to Fox getting baseball, and then I was doing that, and then Matt and Summerall left. One retired, one went to another network, and here I was, you know, doing the main baseball game and the main football game. That's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's easily the biggest turning point in my life, and it gets back to the network getting the rights to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it led to just your entire existence.
Everything.
Really.
We wouldn't be sitting here talking about this thing. There's no way.
Mine would be just meeting Aaron or marrying Aaron, probably. Because not for the moment. Meaning not just that sort of, you know, romantic idea of like, oh, marrying my wife. But what she has done for me in changing a lot of the bad parts of who I was, and her ability to stick with me, her understanding of who I am to the core, and her just believing in me and believing in my potential as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a human has brought me to where I am right now.
That's a beautiful answer. That's a beautiful answer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here's a comment from, it's kind of cut off, so I can't see. It says, it starts from, oh, I think this is just a comment. I think it was Joe Buck, comma, from douchebag to something. But the to something part is cut off. And the reason why I know, this guy gives us a 5-star rating. I'm a Kansas City listener, and ever since the 2014 World Series and Joe's bromance with Madison Bumgarner, I couldn't even stand to watch or listen to any broadcast of Joe's, including football. I came across as such a Kansas City hater, though he claimed he wasn't. Now I give this podcast a listen, and Oliver pulls Joe out of his shell and into normal everyday conversations. Thank you, Oliver, by the way. And Joe Buck is a total different person. I sure didn't expect that. Keep up the fun-loving interviews and keep having fun with the podcast. I enjoy listening to you both and your first-class guests.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm not even going down the Madison Bumgarner rabbit hole. So moronic.
But
thanks for listening.
A snake.
Interesting story. Okay.
That's a great comment, and it's true. It's true. You hit it on the head. It's true. People get
What's
to know
not
who
true
you really
is
are.
An is a Madison Bumgarner
it's not
bromance,
about the money.
Who I've never even spoken to in my life. But when a guy comes in and single-handedly wins a World Series, he's going to get my respect. I'm sorry that his team lost. That's just kind of the way it goes. They won the next year. Don't hear anything from that guy then. What is the technical name for the hashtag symbol?
Number sign?
Yeah, what's the technical name for it?
Oh God.
It's called
quotient?
It's called an octothorpe.
Octothorpe?
Yes.
Wow. It's like Octomom.
Yes. Hashtag. What was her name?
I don't know. What was Suleiman's name? Do you remember Octomom?
Suleiman?
No.
Wasn't her name Suleiman?
Didn't she do? Yeah. And then she did a porno, I think.
I missed that one. Approximately how many grapes go into one bottle of wine?
I should know.
Guess.
Since I...
10?
How many grapes?
A million?
No, I'm going to go with 58.
700. 700 is the answer.
Wow, that's good trivia.
What's right,
end with a good one.
Okay, I'm going to go back to maybe a comment. Love this podcast. This is my new favorite podcast. I look forward to it coming out each week. Then I'm so bummed when it's over and I have to wait another week. Oliver and Joe are equal parts charming, self-deprecating, hilarious, and insightful. I can't decide who I have a bigger crush on. My husband and I watched the World Series together, and I think he gets a little annoyed by how much I was gushing over Joe. So I guess I win. Great guests, great conversations, all around great podcast. Wait till this person gets a load of your new sitcom on CBS. Think about
that. Yeah, that's right. No, I'll concede. I'll concede to you. You win. You win that one. She mentioned you.
Okay.
She gets to see you more, but there will be others. There will be others. But that's the thing, man. And we'll end with this. Great comments that you read, especially the one, I know we've already hammered this a million times. I just love how the perception of you has shifted, you know, which was just total fake news. This idea that Joe Buck was what he was. And now at least, again, the 300 people who listen to the show can understand that you are more than the talking head on the fucking screen. And I'm happy about that. Now let's try to make some money with this thing. What do you say?
Octothorpe.
Octothorpe.
I'm bringing that into the social media world.
It's good. Octothorpe. I love it.
All right, buddy. Until we talk to Rumor Willis.
Rumor's next.
I heard a rumor.
What's the rumor? The rumors is the what's her name? Rumors.
What?
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks.
Rumors.
And it all gets back to the guy on the skateboard with the cranberry juice.
That's right.
Do you think that guy had a urinary tract infection? Is that why he was drinking that?
For sure.
Do you think that guy was aided and abetted by some sort of drug?
Yeah, he was blazed. you can tell. I it takes one to know one. I mean, I can look into his eyes and be like, oh, this guy's loving his life. He's on his fucking skateboard, high as a kite.
Can you ride a skateboard?
Yeah, but I can't do tricks or anything, but I can definitely ride a skateboard.
Like, you could go downhill with your phone in one hand.
Oh, yes.
And
kind of
zoom around and swerve and do that kind of thing. For the good of the show, I'm begging you to do that. And Octothorpe.
I'm going to do that.
Octothorpe daddy issues on it.
Yeah, I will. Dude, I'm going to do a huge joint, though. Like one of those big boys.
I'm doing it. How many articles have you read? And then we'll say goodbye. If you scroll down lower under the article, they have like the fake headline attention-grabbing thing. Is Tommy Chong says, get rid of your CBD right now. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I've seen that a thousand times.
Yes. No, I know. Don't listen to him.
Okay. All right.
All right, lover.
All right. See ya. Have a nice day.
Bye.